Welcome back to Cairo Nights, 8 o'clock hour, currently 8:06. Question of the hour. 98973 State Roofing text line. Is COVID-19 driving everybody insane? Is COVID, and I don't mean this in the sense of like, is it, you know, the disease itself, but I mean just the idea that there is an ailment that is out there, there's a virus that is out there, and the constant threat of that, or the constant presence of that, is kind of making people go a little kooky. We've seen just a tad. And if it is, if you agree with me, I think that people at the margins are maybe starting to lash out a little bit. 98973, by the way. Let me know. Do you think that COVID-19 is causing people to go crazy? Because I feel like I'm starting to witness a new malady, a new condition that's related to COVID-19. And I'm going to call it COVID madness. And it doesn't matter if you think it's a hoax, it doesn't matter if you think it's really, really serious. I think it affects everybody. This is an equal opportunity affliction. And the symptoms of it is where common sense, reason, kindness, you can't experience any of those.
Patience.
You get rid of all of them, and you end up just being just frantic and panicky and just completely unreasonable. And, the more I think about it, the more I read about people getting assaulted, and the more that I read about people fighting, whether it's over masks or not wearing a mask or pepper spraying or not being socially distant enough or being too socially distant, I think that there's something going on where we've never experienced anything like this before in history, and people don't know how to react to it. They don't know how to, on people on all sides of the political spectrum, they don't know how to react to it. And I'm under the impression that there is a cure for COVID madness, if you think it's a thing, like how I think it's
a vaccine. There's a already cure ready for us?
Exactly. It's a really simple vaccine. So no, it's a really simple idea that I think that people could practice. But I kind of want to make my case. I want to make this idea that there is a little bit of COVID madness going on out there. And an update on the numbers. As of today, confirmed 66,711 cases, about 1,700 deaths in the state of Washington. King County has 16,000 cases, a little bit south of 17,000 cases, 698 deaths. I mean, I could go through all of these, but it's, you get the idea. There was a peak of 1,200 confirmed cases on July 15th, and the recent low was 584 confirmed cases and no deaths on August 9th, which is pretty good news. Well, when we talk about, the people are constantly, I have tons of people in my life who are constantly referencing the numbers, oh my God, the numbers keep going up and up and up. And if you look at those numbers, you would say, oh my God, that's really bad. But then you think about how many people have recovered from it. You think about the amount of people who have had it and don't know that they had it and they were completely asymptomatic, or maybe they had mild symptoms. Think about those numbers, those data sets that we don't know yet. You could say, well, that sounds, maybe we shouldn't get so crazy about this. Maybe we should be a little bit more patient. Maybe we should be a little bit more kind. Wait for all these numbers to come out. Part of COVID madness, I think, is in the amount of money that the United States has borrowed. The U.S. budget deficit climbed to a record $2.81 trillion. That's the nation's budgetary shortfall, is expected to eventually reach levels for the fiscal year that ends on September 30th, $2.81 trillion. That's a tremendous, tremendous amount. The federal government rang up a almost $63 billion deficit in July. That's, to me, the amount of money that has gone into COVID-19. Now, some of it needed, for sure. Unemployment, government has taken away your job. They owe you that money. If they take away your ability to go to work, they take away your ability to open your business, you should be compensated for that. But I've been looking at lists of special interest projects that people are kind of funneling money into from the CARES or the HEROES, and it seems the HEROES Act, and it seems like there seems a little bit of madness going on for that sweet dollar, right? That sweet government dollar that's coming. And I wonder, Producer Anderson, if in the future when we look back at this, we're going to say, well, maybe we shouldn't have borrowed all that money, because who's going to be paying for it, Anderson, is my kids and your kids when we eventually have them.
Right.
I did also want to talk about on a community level, on a social level, there's been so many stories about people assaulting other people over masks, either for not wearing a mask or for wearing a mask. A story came out just recently about someone assaulting somebody for wearing a mask. A young girl at Chili's was reportedly attacked by a large group of women after trying to enforce COVID-19 guidelines. Her name is Kelsey Wallace. She's 17 years old. She's a Chili's hostess out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And she describes the physical altercation that occurred when she and her manager tried to enforce COVID-19 guidelines to a group of 11 women.
But then one girl come and she just hit me. We start fighting and everybody who they was with just come hitting me. And the lady who pushed me first, she takes the wet floor sign and cops back and hit me with it in my eye.
That's madness to me. You're going to assault a 17. That's a little girl. She's 17 years old and you're going to assault her because she's doing her job. And also there's 11 of you in one of her. That's so unfair. And so cruel that I can't think of anything in a normal circumstance. If someone were to come up to you, Producer Anderson, and say, hey, would you mind, we here at Chili's have a bit of a policy where we ask people to wear masks. Would you then, with your 10 other friends, decide to assault that human being?
I would hope not. But
you would hope not?
Yeah. First of all, I hope I'd be wearing a mask in the first place because I'm a pretty big mask advocate. And if I wasn't, that would be pretty hypocritical of me. But, you know, if I happened to forget for whatever reason or a couple of my friends weren't and, you know, an employee came up, I would 100%. It's one of those accountability things, right? You talk about these on like sports teams, right? You can call your teammates out or you can hold them accountable. It's kind of looking at it at two different ways. So I would see it as holding them accountable. Like, hey, you need to do this. This is like the right thing for everyone to do, especially since it's the law in this specific store. It's their policy. We need to listen to them. So hopefully I would have that sort of reaction. But maybe since a lot of people have COVID fever, what is it called? COVID madness?
COVID madness.
COVID madness. COVID, yeah, madness. Maybe I have COVID madness. You never know. I would have just triggered an instant reaction in some different way.
I walked into an establishment. I was getting tea. I was getting a Asian tea. I walked into this establishment. I completely forgot that I didn't have a mask on. And I didn't realize it until I looked up from my phone and everybody was staring at me.
Yep.
And then it
clicked
over.
Oh. Yeah, the whole mask thing with me is like I almost wear it more because I don't want to be socially shamed instead of like actually like thinking about me breathing on a bunch of people. I just am like, okay, I just don't want a bunch of people looking at me and saying, hey, why aren't you wearing a mask, and get a bunch of dirty looks. I would just like to walk down the street, no one look at me, and have my coffee in my hand, listen to my music, and not have to worry about a bunch of people like, oh, why isn't he wearing a mask? So I think the whole social shaming thing is a big tool that we can use, and I guess you could say, to kind of enforce that without having a law around it.
Speaking of, a Georgia school district that does not require masks has closed a high school and now has over 1,100 students and staff in quarantine. I've heard numbers between, 900 and 1,000. So a Georgia school district has quarantined more than 900 students and staff amid a COVID-19 since it resumed in-person classes last week. CBS News correspondent Allison Keyes reports.
A recent photo of students crammed in front of Etowah High School not wearing masks went viral on social media. Now Cherokee County Superintendent Brian Hightower says the school is closing at the end of classes, effective today, with plans to restart in-person classes on August 31st. The district, 30 miles north of Atlanta, serves more than 42,000 students. Democrats in the state have pushed back against Georgia Governor Brian Kemp's take that school reopenings amid the pandemic have mostly gone well. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
This is part of the COVID madness. Why wouldn't you just have all the kids wear masks? This is something that I just don't understand.
Yep, I think she suffers from COVID madness.
That's exactly my point, that you have people out there who are saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Now, we've gone over the CDC data. Kids get COVID-19, more than likely they're going to recover it. In fact, something like 99.8% of the kids who get COVID-19 are going to recover from it. But still, regardless, there is that one very small chance that a child might have really adverse reactions
right.
to COVID-19. So why not just have all the kids wear the masks?
Be safe.
Pretty simple. But if you're in the COVID madness stage and you think to yourself, oh man, we can't, whatever. I can't really empathize with somebody who has that position for someone to say, well, we shouldn't be wearing masks. That's madness. That's madness. Why would you put kids back in school without wearing masks? To me, just as an outside observer. Again, I'm not a school superintendent. I spent all of 3 years in high school before I dropped out. The idea that you wouldn't have children wear masks.
Maybe I am thinking about this a little too narrow-mindedly, but did they expect a different result than having to shut down like the next week?
It's well, the other part of this, though, Producer Anderson, is that they had a total number of, I think, 14 confirmed cases and 15 tests pending as of yesterday morning. So only 14 cases, you would say to yourself, well, why do they have to close down if there's only 14 cases? You put masks on the rest of the kids, and then everybody can go back to school. Yeah. This idea that you have to now, boom, quarantine all of these kids, to me, is madness. When you could just, hey, we're all wearing masks right now. Everybody gets their temperature taken. Everything can keep moving forward. If it gets really bad, if it gets really, really, really bad, then we can decide to shut down the school again. But this kind of fear impulse that I see across the board where people go, oh, got 15 cases, boom, got to shut it down. That, to me, is madness. And then additionally, Producer Anderson, before we get to text messages, this is the other side of the argument that I don't understand. This is, you know, people who tend to be on my side of the political argument. I don't get this guy whatsoever. A sheriff in Florida, Sheriff Billy Woods, forbids his employees and those visiting his offices to wear masks in most circumstances. He's down in Ocala, and he's saying that he says, my order will stand. As is, when you are on duty or working as my employee and representing my office, masks will not be worn. Why? I would ask him. I would go, Sheriff Billy.
So he forbids from wearing masks.
He says to all his employees, you may not wear a mask in my presence.
I was a little confused.
It is forbade.
I thought it was forbidding people to not wear a mask, but
I'll read it again. My order will stand, as is when you are on duty working as my employee and representing my office, masks will not be worn. Why?
I'm confused.
Why? See, that, me as well. So I think to myself, well, the only reason that someone could come to this conclusion is if they're trying to make some kind of statement, is if they're trying to prove something to people, i.e. COVID madness, as I've now dubbed it. And additionally, Marion County set a single-day record the same day for the most deaths related to COVID-19, with 13 more deaths reported. Of course, I mean, he's not totally cold-hearted. He said that there are people with exceptions, and there are people who, you know, can wear masks if they so choose. But he says if you are wearing a mask and you don't need it and you don't have the exception, and this is his quote directly, the mask will be immediately removed.
Like forcibly?
Why? I guess forcibly. They're a bunch of sheriffs. But why? I mean, that's the thing about COVID madness, is that when you try to analyze it, when you try to say, well, why would somebody make such an impulsive decision, or why would somebody make such a far-reaching decision like that? The only conclusion that I can think of is that people are not used to being under the pressure of something like COVID-19. You can't see it. You don't ever know if it's coming unless you have a test, or you don't know if you've got it. I've heard people of having just a common cold and thinking, oh my God, I've got COVID-19. This is putting a tremendous amount of pressure on society as a whole, and I wonder if people can't deal with the stress. And as a result, they begin making these kind of impulsive decisions, whether it's an overreaction, i.e., well, we need to pull all the kids out of school, or if it's kind of an underreaction where the guy says, I'm ordering you all not to wear masks in my presence. What is this like? I'm dumbfounded by it. I'm simply dumbfounded by it, Producer Anderson.
Does he have like a weird condition where he has to see the mouths of everyone around him or something? I don't know. I'm just literally speculating here. I have no idea why else he would ask that.
This is why I'm speculating on this issue, because I can't empathize with people when they are that reactive, when you are that impulsive, when you make these decisions that are like so. I guess it's almost like you ever see those military movies where the one guy starts panicking and he's like, we got to get out of here, man. Like Brian Paxton in Aliens.
Yeah.
When he's like, we got to get out of here, man. Game over, man. That kind of panic is not good for anybody. I don't think it's good for children. I don't think it's good for the economy. I don't think it's good for government. There's this kind of, I don't know, maybe desire to have the idea that I have coronavirus under control. People might say, well, you know, I understand fully what's going on. I understand, you know, whether they listen to a particular radio show or they follow a certain political pundit, and they feel as if they have all of the answers. And to the best of my ability, all of the research that I've looked at, all the people that I've spoken to, whether it's doctors or any other kind of expert, all of the data seems to be just kind of scattered. And no one seems to have a sincere answer as to the best way to treat this. If you look at vaccines, there's now this idea that, you know, you might have to get multiple injections of vaccines over time in order to stave off COVID-19. That if you're older, one vaccine might work for you, whereas if you're younger, a different kind of vaccine might work for you. So there's not going to be any set answers here. I think the cure to COVID madness, in a lot of ways, is just to kind of accept that COVID-19 is a thing, that it's going on. You may be affected by it. You may not be affected by it. But this impulsivity that I see across all people on the sides of the political spectrum, across almost everybody that I come in contact with, I'm not seeing a lot of people just saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to wear a mask. Maybe I don't think COVID-19 is that big of a deal, but I'm going to wear a mask and I'm going to socially distance and so on and so forth. That seems like the cure to COVID-19 madness, where you're just patient with people and you're just kind with people and you just kind of say to yourself, well, this is just kind of the way the world is right now, and I may not like it and I may not think it's a big deal, but for my neighbor, for my community, I'm willing to take these steps to protect myself and others. Seems like a pretty good idea to me, producer, in order to stave off
COVID-19. I think that's kind of your duty as a citizen at this point.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to talk about this with Rachel Bell in a little bit, but there is this kind of, I don't understand sincerely the non-mask thing.
I don't
you know, I see people out there and I see people protesting it, and they say, I don't want government telling me what to do. And I say, yes, great. I agree with you.
Yep.
And then they say, but I'll never wear a mask as a result of it. And I go, no, you were so close. you were so close to the correct answer. Anyway, we ran out of time for text, producer Anderson, but we're gonna get to text.
All right.
I think at the
There's
top.
There's a few good
the
ones.
Top. Yeah, we got Rachel Bell coming up. Rachel Bell's gonna come in. I think we're gonna be talking about that high school again. That high school has been such a focal
Georgia
point
high
over
schools,
the last.
Man.
That, yeah, man, it's been in the news. Can't get away from it. You're listening to Cairo Nights. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with Miss Rachel Bell. You can ring my bell. Rachel Bell in the studio. Hi, Rachel Bell.
Yo, 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 Jack Stein.
How you doing, Rachel Bell?
I'm good. I felt like you were giving me like a fun DJ intro.
I'm not that cool. I wish I was, but I lack that kind of swagger. Yeah. I lack that ability to be cool at any. I used to be cool. When I was in my 20s, I was pretty cool, but not anymore. It left me.
Yeah. I think if you say you're cool, then you're probably not that cool.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that scene in The Princess Bride where the guy's getting his life force drained out of him. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. Let's get to the story. Rachel Bell, what do you got for us?
I know the movie, though. Okay. There was this article in The Washington Post that I thought had a very interesting take. So it's an opinion piece, and they started off by saying that at North Paulding High School in Georgia, there was a student, a female student, who was suspended for tweeting out this photo. So she was at school. School is back in Georgia. It was a really crowded hallway, and nobody but her was wearing a mask. And she was a whistleblower of sorts, and this got her suspended just for sending this picture out in a tweet. The superintendent said, wearing a mask is a personal choice, and there is no practical way to enforce a mandate to wear them. Well, ironically, over the weekend, 9 students and staff from that school were diagnosed with COVID, and the school had to temporarily close. But something interesting that the author said in regards to that superintendent saying, how could we possibly make students wear masks, is she pointed out that most schools have dress codes, and often a lot of the dress code is aimed at girls. So at this school in particular, girls are not allowed to wear spaghetti straps, short skirts, or scooped necklines that go down too low. And so the author is saying, well, if you can tell girls that they can't wear these clothes, which, by the way, they are told not to wear them because they will be, quote, a distraction, basically to boys. And so the girls can't wear these clothes because another segment of the population allegedly can't control themselves. Then why can't a school tell the class that they have to wear masks? It's the exact same thing, except instead of not being able to show off your body, you have to cover up your body even more, which is just what they like.
And we've been covering this story about that young girl, Hannah Waters, I believe her name is. We've been covering that since the initial her suspension. I did a whole section where I was deeply upset about the fact that she was suspended for taking pictures of that high school. And I'm of the opinion, Rachel Bell, that the mask thing is not really what people are upset about. I'm of the opinion that people are using that because they're frustrated with the quarantines and they're frustrated with the lockdowns and they're frustrated with, and because it seems like it's so out of everyone's control, the one thing that they can control is whether or not I'm going to wear a mask. And
right.
Unfortunately, and now it's coming out in just the weirdest ways. But I do think that children in particular, if you're going to be opening up your school district again, I don't see anything wrong with asking the kids to wear masks. I mean, that seems like it's pretty reasonable to me.
Right. And so you use the word control. And so that's something that this author in this Washington Post piece kind of points out later. I mean, she really kind of stretches away from the initial story of this girl being suspended, but it all makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I'm talking about the fact that girls in general aren't allowed to wear certain clothes. And so she starts kind of pushing that into the abortion realm, which is always a fun topic to talk about on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
But she says, hey, you know what? Politicians have been controlling women's bodies for years. You know, we've been told whether or not we can get an abortion. We've been told whether or not we can take birth control pills. You know, trans people, gay people, their rights have also been controlled. Their bodies have been controlled, whether they can get surgery or not. And so she is saying, you know, all of these people who don't want to wear masks keep saying, the government can't control me. This is my body. And there's a real clear kind of connection there when you hear those two arguments from two groups of people who do not generally agree. You know, the people who say they don't want to wear masks tend to say that they can regulate women's bodies in a lot of cases. And so I thought that that was a really interesting correlation that she made, which is, hey, a lot of us women have been controlled for years. Our bodies have been regulated. So I think, you know, asking you to wear a mask is along the same line. But the difference is that wearing the mask is for public health, the key word being public, that it affects a lot of people and a lot of people you don't know. Whereas if a woman chooses to get an abortion, that is something that doesn't affect an entire community, let alone country or planet.
Rachel Bell, you're throwing me into the hot seat now with the abortion topic.
I know.
I actually, weirdly enough, I have the same view on abortion as I do with masks. Coincidentally, Rachel Bell, since we're already living in this topic, I actually have the same view of both topics, which is that I think that, do I personally enjoy wearing a mask? Not really, but should the government tell me, I'm going to do it anyway, but should the government be telling me that I have to wear a mask? No, I don't think that that's the case. So I kind of view the same thing if you want to talk about women's rights, all that kind of stuff. I may not like it. I may not agree with it, but I don't have I don't think the state should come in and intrude on what is otherwise a very personal and difficult choice for anybody. And I'm sure the text line is going to be very upset about that position. But at the same time, Rachel, I wonder if the mask debate has kind of become a focal point for that kind of discussion as well, as to how much government should be involved with your individual life, your children's lives, so on and so forth. So I think that maybe is the point that the author is trying to make, even though she seems like she is kind of on that side of the spectrum. Do you know what I mean?
And I mean, if there was going to be a hole in her argument, it would be that I do think that government should force people to wear masks because people are not doing it on their own. And, you know, the reason there. I know, but there's so many things that have to be regulated and people get used to them. Like, you can't smoke indoors anymore, at least in our state and in your state. When that smoking ban happened, people lost their minds and then eventually got used to it. And that was the government that was a public health thing. You know, you are smoking inside, you're affecting the health of the people around you, not just your own. When the plastic bag ban happened, you know, you have to pay 5 cents or have a paper bag. People lost their minds yet again, and then they got used to it. So sometimes the government has to step in because humans can't control themselves and we can't always do the right thing. And wearing masks is a case where it's not just for you. It is for everybody else. Just like you have to get a vaccine to go to school. It's the same thing. Sometimes you have to do things for the greater good. And wearing a mask is nothing compared to a lot of other things you might have to do in life. You don't have to get surgery. You don't have to take a pill. You don't have to get a shot. It's really easy to wear a mask. And it would really, really cut down on deaths. And then stores could open again. Kids could go back to school. I mean, to me, wearing a mask is the smallest price to pay in order to restore our country back to normalcy again.
See, you and I agree on that aspect of it. The only thing where you and I disagree on, Rachel Bell, and respectfully, I might add, so for all the people out there who are saying, I can never have a respectful conversation with someone I disagree, this is how you do it. You have a respectful conversation. You use a polite term. The only difference between your position and my position is that I actually think private property rights should be above that. So I think that if I'm a business owner and I want people to wear masks in my business, that's my prerogative, right? So if someone comes in and they're not wearing a mask because it's my private property, I can say, you need to get out. I don't want you in my business. Conversely, though, if I'm a business owner and I want to put my customers at risk, and they come in without masks, me personally as a consumer, I wouldn't go into that business. I flat out would not go into that business. So that's where the difference is that I think that people should be given the choice, the opportunity to make a decision based on their own health needs, their own personal needs. I don't think that it should be a government thing to come in and say, well, you absolutely have to do this.
What
regardless.
About in some and arenas, also, though, like for schools? Because, yes, a business is private and a person can choose not to go to a business, but children need to go to school. That's a public entity. What about that? I mean, making that a rule.
Yeah, and that's more the weird thing. Like, I actually think that in public schools like that, which are funded by the government, by the way, I think that they could probably say, yeah, you know, you guys, we're mandating that all the children have to wear masks. But that's a government thing. And then the same way that if a government, you know, I don't know, like the IRS building, if they require everybody to wear masks, that's a government decision, yeah. And they are more than happy to do that. Private business, government, these things should be separate.
I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, I think like where people don't have choices, they need to be protected and know that they can be safe if they know they have to go somewhere, you know?
Rachel Bell, I want to thank you for a polite and respectful discussion on very heated issues.
Thank you.
And I want to say thank you so much.
So thank you. I have one thing to point out on a different note really quick before we go.
Sure.
So I don't know if you knew that I had a book club through Cairo that we did. The first book that we read was called So You Want to Talk About Race by Seattle writer Ijeoma Luo. And the book club was started so that people could get together and learn and we could hopefully make a change in the world. So first book club went great. People wanted to meet again, so we're doing round two. So if you're listening and you want to be a part of the next discussion, just text the word book to 98973. Text book to 98973. You'll automatically get sent back a website that you can register. You can see what the book is, what the book is about, and then you can be a part of our Zoom conversation.
Rachel Bell, everybody. You're going to take a quick break. Be right back after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Jack Stein filling in for Mr. Mike Lewis. Producer Anderson, people are saying that I shouldn't call you Producer Anderson anymore.
I saw that.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know. They wanted just a single first name, I guess. So I don't know.
Anderson.
Yeah. See, I want to like decipher the difference between
you know how
me,
to get
though,
you know how to
Jack.
Fix this problem.
How do you fix it?
Just call him Star Producer. Or premier
super producer, Anderson.
Super producer, it'll go away.
Super producer,
instantly.
Just get rid of my name altogether.
That's it.
All right, sounds good.
Got some good news for you guys.
Okay.
Then some people might say, Jack Stein, why is this good news? And I'll tell you why this is good news.
Okay.
Columbia arrests Florida men accused of selling fake COVID cure that allegedly killed seven people.
Oh.
Officials say they have arrested two Florida men wanted in the United States on charges that they illegally sold a bleach-like chemical as a miracle cure for the new coronavirus and other diseases. The Colombian prosecutor's office said Tuesday that these two gentlemen, who I would prefer if they went nameless because they're just total dirtbags, were arrested in the beach town of Santa Marta, and they had their miracle mineral solution, as they call it, which is really chlorine dioxide. and 7 Americans have died from the substance. Now, if you don't know chlorine dioxide, that's pool water.
In crystalline form, yes.
To me, I used to do a medical show with my good friend Dr. Z. We did it on Sunday nights. So I had my regular radio show that I did. And then on Sunday nights, we did a 2-hour medical show so people could call in and they could ask questions. And right when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, a young lady called in, and we, Dr. Z and I, were having a really difficult time trying to understand what she was talking about because she kept talking about sanitizing. She was sanitizing her eyes and her mouth and her nostrils, and we were trying to track it, and we're saying, what are you talking about? And then she admitted to us that she was using this. She was using chlorine dioxide. And my doctor friend was very patient with her, and he explained to her why this was a bad idea and why she shouldn't do it and why she should consult a medical professional. He went on a good, like, 3 or 4 minutes of deep analysis, and he was very compassionate and caring. And when I threw it back to her, I said, what do you think about that, caller? She had hung up the phone. She was gone.
Oh, gosh.
So
my question for you, Jack. Is this the cure for COVID madness or COVID-19 that these guys are advertising?
Neither of those. You know, these guys are they're actually religious guys. The main gentleman is the Archbishop of the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing, based in Bradenton, Florida. The church is centered on the use of toxic chemicals as a supposed sacrament, and it claims can cure a vast variety of illnesses ranging from cancer to autism to malaria and now COVID-19. So I say this is good news because I hope that this is a deterrent to other people who are trying to scam people out of money or maybe even their lives in this COVID pandemic, of which we have seen many, right? We've seen so many people trying to do stuff like this.
Yep.
So, and I don't know. I'm not really – I hate to be – I'm a crime and punishment guy. But as far as the, you know, this kind of stuff goes, I say, yeah, this is the kind of thing where I want the full load of the justice system to descend on these people. Hey, producer Anderson, we got any good? Let me redo that one. Hey, Anderson, do we have any good text? See, it doesn't have the same ring.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the same. I will say, the text line is getting blown up by the word book. Being texted in from Rachel Bell's reading club or book club that she has. And we just had her on last segment. So, yeah, a lot of people trying to get on that book club. I forget the book that she mentioned, but a lot of people are, I see like 7 or 8 people already just immediately book. So, yeah, it's great that people hopping on that. Remember, if you want to join the book club, just text book to 99973.
Hey, Frank, now with the, is this good news now that the daughter's out of the house that maybe, you know, you maybe get a little bit more alone time, maybe you get to do things that Frank Shires wants to do, take up boxing, take up high-intensity cardio. What's next for Frank Shires now that the little one's out of the house?
I was doing just fine until you started talking about Florida Man, and then it's like, no!
The reminder.
No! Chat! I don't want to hear stories about Florida Man.
Oh,
gosh, it's okay. I've got stuff to do. My wife is still around. She has a honey-do list as long as your arm, Jack. So yes, I will have things to do.
Wow! Keeping I was actually. If I ever get married, because I have full sleeve tattoos, I was thinking about getting a honey-do list tattooed on my arm. So it's funny that you mentioned that.
That's a great thing, but that's not the part of your body you should have it tattooed on. So let me tell you.
Where should I get it tattooed on, Frank?
Just leave it there.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Coming up on Cairo Nights, we have we got Stacey's going to be coming in. We're going to be talking sports, but it's good for you and it's good for me because as someone who knows very little about the sports world, Stacey comes in, she explains it to me. Producer Anderson explains to me what's going on. It's very informative, and I think what we're going to be talking about is all the stuff going on in the NBA, and we're also going to be talking about, I guess, some guys went partying or something like that. Stacey's got all the details on that. You're listening to Cairo Nights. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back after this.